Hi folks, Joe Stagner from Microsoft here, and in this video, I'm going to illustrate how to create a custom control extender like the ones that you find in the Microsoft Ajax Control Toolkit. So to get started, let's go over to Visual Studio and create a website. And I'll call it Joe's Extender. Now this website we're actually going to use just to test the control that we're about to create. We're going to need another project to create the control in, so let's say add new project. Let's choose class library, and I'm going to go put this on my desktop along with the Joe's custom extender. So let's put it right there in that directory as well. And let's call our class library custom extenders. Now, class 1's not a great name for an extender, so let's call this disabled button extender. And this sort of gives away what we're going to create here. So what I'm going to create is an extender control that when you put a text box and a button on a page, that the button will be disabled with a special message until the user enters some text. Right? So a pretty simple extender control, but also one that you might find useful. So this Visual Studio message is saying you're renaming a file. Would you also rename the project? All right, so basically it was saying, do you want to rename the class? And when we do that, you'll see that the class is renamed to disabled button extender. And let's actually do that again since I misspelled button. Much better. Okay, now we're actually going to need a couple of other files here. So I'm going to add a new item, and we're going to need another class, and this class is going to be the designer class for our disabled button. So we'll call it disabled button designer. Now we're going to need one more. We're also going to need a JavaScript file because even though we're creating the server-side implementation of this, the actual visual change of activating the button control and changing the text back to the text of the button control back to what it's supposed to be, as opposed to the disabled text message, that's going to be a client-side behavior. So we need to accomplish that in JavaScript. So to do that, let's add another item. And this item will be a JScript file. And we'll call this disabled button behavior. .js. Okay, now before we can actually implement our control extender, we need to add some references to our solution. So I'm going to right click on the project, our custom extenders project, and I'm going to say add reference. Now we actually need to add 5 references, 4 of which exist in the global assembly cache. So when you say add reference and you're looking at the .NET tab, what we're looking at is all of the assemblies that have been registered with the global assembly cache. So we're going to need a collection from the system namespace. So let's go down and find system. And the first one we're going to need is system design. So let's grab that. Then we're also going to need system.web. So let's grab that one. I'm just control clicking to get each of the ones that I need. Now we're also going to need system.web.extensions and system.web.extensions design. Now you'll notice here that there are multiple versions of each of these, right? And this will often be the case when you're working with versions of Visual Studio, that there are multiple versions of particular assembly names depending on which version of the .NET framework that you're targeting. Now in our case, we're targeting the 3.5 version, so I'm going to select the 3.5 versions of system.web.extensions and system.web.extensions.design. So I'm going to click OK. Now I've included those 4. There's one more that I need, but the one I need isn't registered with the global assembly cache. So I'm going to say add reference again, and instead of choosing from the .NET list, I'm going to select browse, and I'm going to go find the Ajax Control Toolkit assembly. Now, this is wherever you've installed it, but if you follow along with my videos on configuring your environment, you've probably installed it in the same place that I have, which is Program Files, Microsoft.net, Ajax Control Toolkit, and the framework name, and then the binaries directory. So I'm going to grab that. And again, your location may be different if you have chosen a different place to install the Ajax Control Toolkit. There's no installer, so you just unzip the files. Okay, so now I have all of the includes that I need. If you want to double check, you can right-click on the project, choose Properties, and go to the References tab. And here you can see, let's size this a little bit. We have the Ajax Control Toolkit. And we can scroll and find, here's the system.web, the web extensions and extensions design, which is the 3.5 version. So you can use the references tab on the properties window to have a look and make sure that you've included everything that you need to use. Okay, so now let's go ahead and start to implement our extender. Well, let's begin by implementing the designer, because we're actually not going to implement the designer. We're just going to shell this out. So in order to do that, I'm going to say imports system.web.ui. And I'm going to need this, the web controls namespace as well. So, and the other one we're going to need is the Ajax Control Toolkit design namespace. So let's say imports Ajax Control Toolkit design. And then here in our class is going to inherit from the extender control base designer. So let's say inherits extender control base designer type of, and we need to specify the class that we're working with. So the disabled button extender, the one that we just defined. Okay. Now, this is all we're going to do for implementation. Notice that this is not fully implemented yet, so this Visual Studio warning will go away as we flush out the implementation of our disabled button extender. Now, this is where you would implement, if you wanted any custom functionality that was to take place in Visual Studio at design time, this is where you would implement it. In our case, we're not going to create a visual design time experience, so this is all that we need to do. All right, so let's save this, go back into our extender, and now we're ready to start implementing it. So again, we're going to need some imports statements. All right, so in fact, let's just go grab these two, because we're going to, actually, let's grab all three of these. Pop these over here. Now, I don't need the design namespace from the Ajax Control Toolkit, so I'll just grab the entire Ajax Control Toolkit namespace. And then up here at the top, there's one more imports statement that I'm going to need, and that is the component model. So let's say system.componentModel. Okay. So the first thing that I'm going to need is the web resource to the JavaScript file that represents the design time behavior. So remember, this is the JavaScript file. Now, in order for this to work, this web resource needs to be embedded in our assembly. And you'll notice that by default, the build action is content. Well, that's not what we want. So we need to change this build action from content to embedded resource. Right? So you need to be absolutely certain that you make this change, otherwise you'll spend a bunch of time trying to figure out why your client-side behavior doesn't behave the way that you expected. And it's particularly difficult to debug. Right, so now that we've done that, now we can add an assembly reference. And I like to put these inside a region tag. This is purely optional. It's a coding convention that I do, so I'm going to do it here. Assembly resource. Attribute. And then here I can say assembly system dot web.ui, web resource. And this is where we specify the client-side behavior resource, the JavaScript file that we want to use in this control. So we're going to put two parameters in here. And the first one is going to be the name of our JavaScript file. And the next one is just going to be the MIME type of the resource that we're including. So JavaScript. Now, we're going to decorate our extender class with a few attributes. So the first thing we want to do is specify the designer class that we're going to be associating with this extender class. So let's go ahead and say designer. Get type disabled button designer. Next, we need to specify the script resource that represents the client-side behavior. All right, so we've created an assembly reference, but we need to decorate the class with the attribute that specifies that resource. So let's say here, client script resource. And this is going to take two input parameters. So I'm just going to rough out the format. And what we need here is we're going to grab, and actually, I need the namespace here as well. So the namespace that we're going to implement, we haven't done it yet, is custom extenders. So that's going to be the namespace that we use. Only there's going to be an M instead of an N. Right? So custom extenders spelled appropriately. I'm going to grab the name of that resource. And then down here in our script resource attribute, I'm going to specify first the component type. And then the resource path. Right. And let's finally add the target control type. So the target control type is an attribute that specifies which class this particular control extender is going to extend. Now, when we add attributes, we'll actually also include the additional associations that are necessary for the control that we're going to need, namely the button that's going to be involved in the client-side behavior, as well as the message that should be presented in that button when the text box doesn't have any text in it. So here, let's add that target control type. And it's going to be a text box. Right, so let's say get type text box. Okay, now we can go ahead and implement. So the first thing we need to do is this is our class, disabled button extender. It's going to be an extender control, so we want to inherit from the extender control base. So let's go ahead and say inherits extender control base. And now we can implement the two properties that we need to implement. The two properties that we need to implement are the target button ID, so the button that should be associated with the text box that is the target of this extender, as well as the disabled text. So the button is going to have some text in it, like, you know, click to submit, but when it's disabled, we might want to put a different text in it, so we need that property as well. So we're going to create public property target button ID. As string, and then we're also going to need the disabled text properties. So let's add that. disabled text as string. Okay, so there's our two properties. We'll implement the accessors momentarily, but we need to add attributes here. So the first thing that we need to do is we need to specify that these are extender control properties. So let's add an attribute that says extender control property. And both properties are extender control properties, so let's go ahead and add those. The next thing we'll do is add default values. So when we include a control of this type on the page, what will the default values for these properties be? So let's specify default values. And in our case, they're just going to be empty strings, but we want to implement the default value attribute anyway. So let's go ahead and add that to both. Now, the disabled text property is going to be just that. It's just text. It's a string that's user provided, but the target button ID has to be a control type. So let's specify that this is going to be an ID reference property of type button. So we'll say get type button. Okay, and now we're ready for our property our property accessor implementations. So here, for the target button ID, let's just say return get property value. Target button ID. Okay. And set, of course, let's say set property value. And again, target button ID. And whatever the value is. And then down here in our disabled text accessors, we will do a similarly simple get and set implementation. Okay, let's build. Okay, things look good. Now, the next thing that we need to do is implement our client-side behavior, our JavaScript file. So, I've just cut and pasted some JavaScript code into our disabled button behavior.js file, just so that you don't have to watch me type this entire thing. And extensive JavaScript programming clearly is beyond the scope of this video, but let's just take a quick look at what we've gotten here. So, first, we've registered the namespace custom extenders, and you'll notice that custom extenders is the namespace that we specified both in the assembly attribute, the assembly reference for the web resource, and as well as the namespace for the client script resource. So this is where that comes into play. Now we have our initializer where we set up the button ID value and the text value. And they're set to null. They're going to be assigned according to the properties that are passed from the server, and this is done automatically. Then we have the prototype for the class that we're building. We have an initializer, and of particular interest here, this is where the client-side behavior is actually wired up. So we're taking the JavaScript keyUp event, wiring a handler, and creating a delegate to our own local onKeyUp function. Then, of course, we have a class, the disposal method, since JavaScript programming using the Microsoft AJAX technology adds this namespacing and this fully object-oriented experience to JavaScript. So here we have our property accessors, and you'll notice that these equate with the properties that we set back on server side. Right, so these obviously have to be available on client side in order to implement the behavior that we want, namely using the disabled text when the button is disabled, as well as making sure that we know which button we're disabling and changing the text on. And then, of course, here is sort of the meat of the client-side behavior, the onKeyUp function. And basically, all this does is checks when a key is pressed, when the onKeyUp event fires, finds out, does the text box now have value in it? And if it does, we want to enable the button control that's associated in this property, and then take the original text value for that button and replace the disabled text button with the original text value that's supposed to be there. Right, so that's all this does. And then last, we need to register the class. So we're calling custom extenders, which is our namespace, disabled button behavior, register class, and this is the behavior that we want to register, the disabled button behavior, which is defined here. Okay, so now that we've implemented that, the next thing that we need to do is to go ahead and implement a use of this control on our default.asbx page. Since we've just implemented an AJAX control extender, we need to implement this on our page, and all pages that use Microsoft AJAX technology require an instance of the script manager on the page. We'll need to start by adding an instance of the script manager on the page. And then let's go ahead and pop up here. And we're going to need a text box. And we're going to need a button control. And let's change the text of the button control to be click to submit. And then we can add our extender control. Now, you'll notice here that Visual Studio has been kind enough when we built our solution to create a toolbox tab for our custom extenders and add an instance of the disabled button extender to that tab. So I can just go ahead and grab it, place it on my page here. And then in our properties window, we can specify what the target control ID is going to be. In our case, text box 1, and it has to be a text box. So text box 1, and the target button ID, button 1, and let's just explicitly set enable equal to true, although it should be true by default, and then the disabled text, right? So this is what will be displayed if the button is disabled by our behavior. So let's say please enter some text. Now let's go ahead and save. Let's build. Right, you notice 2 succeeded, so both of our projects succeeded. Now, I'm going to run this, but I'm going to tell you in advance that I've inadvertently introduced an error for the purpose of demonstration. Right, so let's run this, and boom, we're going to see a crash. Let's break. Now, what this is basically telling us is that there's an invalid name. Let's actually... let's stop and run again so we can see what that error message was. Right. Notice, Microsoft JScript runtime error, invalid operation exception, target button ID is not a property or an existing field. Notice closely target button ID. Now, if you're a C# programmer, you're used to case sensitivity. If you're a VB programmer, this can be a problem because even though we're writing in VB in this particular demo, and I'll include the video with downloads for both this control in VB and in C#, but there's an important thing to note here is that JavaScript is case sensitive. So if you're a VB developer, you need to pay attention to case. Notice here that the ID in this case is lowercase. However, let's stop this project and swap over here, and let's take a look. Notice here that I've specified a property name in uppercase, even though the property here is lowercase. Well, these properties get propagated to the client-side behavioral logic implemented in JavaScript. So in fact, the name of our server-side property and the name of our client-side property are different because of case, right? Because on the client side, JavaScript is case sensitive. So let's change this so that the cases match, and now our server side implementation will actually be the same property name as our client side implementation, right? Let's go ahead, let's build this again, and then run. And now what we'll see is, notice here is our disabled button because there's no text in that, and we have the disabled message, please enter some text. As soon as I enter some text, notice now that button is enabled and the message is changed back to click to submit, which was the original property value we set for the text property of that button. So that's it. It's that easy to create your own custom AJAX control extender using the AJAX control toolkit.